The University Tower chimes. We're in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, he doesn't have anything shoved into his mouth right before I try to introduce him. It's Professor Dave Chow.
Pleasure to be here and eyeing the donuts.
Yes, thank you for bringing them. Sure. We are going to be on a hot streak for people bringing food. Last week, I don't mean to make your eyes get too big, Beth, but we had multiple bags of cookies. We had this
donuts
board game box full of chocolates. We had a box of donuts. It was nuts.
It may never be like smorgasbord.
May never be like that again.
It was a sugar high for sure.
Well, no, not until we have the next cookie off.
Oh, well, see, we're going to have to wait. We're going to have to wait for Mara.
You heard about that, right, Beth?
I did not.
You did not?
You guys had a cookie off?
Well, it was a bread off, wasn't it?
We had a bread off, yeah. But
it was between Mara and Dan. They were claiming who could bake the best cookie.
Ah, Dan was like totally good. I haven't tried Mara's, but
it was tough.
Nothing makes Drew happier than when Dan delivers cookies to our house.
Those are the dulcet tones of Professor Beth Oljar from philosophy.
Good to be here.
Excellent. Glad to have you here.
Looking remarkably philosophical today.
Oh, well, right, yeah.
Almost Kantian.
You know, when Dave and I were teaching last semester, he actually said to Alexa that if Kant were a woman, he would be Beth.
Like, except I would have hit him.
I have no capacity to reason, so I don't.
Oh, jeez.
According to him, so.
Incredible. Beth, is it okay? Oh, go ahead.
No, do you watch The Good Place?
It's a good show.
You need to watch The Good Place.
Does it involve Kant?
Involves a philosopher who dies and goes to the good place, but he tries to reason his whole life using different philosophical concepts. Mm-hmm. You would like it is so good, but it's
Don't want to give away too much about because the show is coming to an end this season.
It's the fifth season, but you can, on Netflix are like the first four.
Right. Watch
just the idea that there's a show where a philosopher is the central character.
He is one of the central for sure. Yeah, he's
and it stars Kristen Bell. You can't do any worse. She's super snarky and awesome. What are you doing with your non-teaching, Beth? Are we allowed to ask?
I'm just resting and recuperating and
awesome.
Trying to write and
very good.
Enjoying not being here except for fun things like Ask the Professor.
Oh, yay. We're glad to have you back in the studio with us. 2020, new year, new you. Not meaning you, but everybody.
That would be fine, too.
Yeah. Professor Stephanie Conan is here from biology. How are the renovations going?
Loud, but that's okay. We'll take loud. We got a peek in there this morning because they took the fake wall down for a minute. I don't know. I mean, it's gutted.
Okay.
And there's a lot of marks on the walls that they're knocking down.
Wow. Very cool.
I don't know.
Is it before the end of the semester, hopefully?
That's the timeline they gave us. We'll see.
Okay. What's the outcome supposed to look like?
They're completely redoing the main office and they're putting a conference room downstairs on the first floor and then a big like student lounge area.
Okay, good.
It can be exciting. Over there in the life sciences building, and we just heard from Professor Jim Tubbs from Religious Studies.
Yes.
Flying away on wings of retirement or something. Well, I don't know.
Not flying far.
He's flying all the way to Adjunctville, I believe.
Adjunctville, yes.
All the way to Clawson. I got to catch my flight to Clawson. Well, we're always glad to have you here, Jim. And
Thank you. No one
is fully retired from the panel. That's what I always say. You know, we have Kathy Bush and Ed DeWitt looking down on us every week, thanks to Dave Chow's illustration on the wall.
I'm good for something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Last but most certainly not least, furiously doing research, his glasses at the tip of his nose, Professor Jason Roach from Communication Studies.
I am very happy to be here.
We are very happy to have you.
We are very happy to have you.
Very interesting.
I was trying to sound like Prince Akeem. I think Dave might have known that.
You know, there's a Munda accent, just doesn't cut it. So,
just got to work on it. No, I'm furiously deleting old videos from my phone so I'll have enough room to take more.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Very good
pictures
idea.
Pictures of your children.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have kids. The memory goes fast in your phone.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wait,
what were you talking about?
What? We don't recall.
They do also suck that out of you. So
yeah, also.
No doubt.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. And if you don't stump the panel, you win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can find us on Facebook or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Okay, so we've got some questions from a student. Her name is Sarah Hirschman. She says, hello, profs. You may walk around this school like an expert at something, but I am determined to make you feel like a lost and confused child.
All right.
Which, by the way, Sarah, is how I feel in your class.
That won't be hard.
Yes, we often feel like that ourselves. We're probably just better at faking it.
Yes. Darn right.
I'm going to put all my money on that.
As long as we're one page ahead of them, we're good.
Yeah,
that's all. One YouTube video demonstration away. That's
all that it takes. She says, good luck. These are kind of all over the map. And she actually gave choices. But, you know, since we know everything, I figure I don't need to give the choices. So,
Oh, no, I like choices.
How many times has the United States women's national soccer team won the World Cup?
Three.
It says here the answer is four.
Oh.
Okay, but I mean, three is pretty close.
We're rounding.
And they're getting ready for the Olympics.
Yeah, so. Where's Kendra?
I know. Kendra is usually the person who shoots in the middle, right?
Well, she's by also the way, kids in soccer.
I know enough about multiple choice test taking to know, Sarah, you may have biased your gift of choices. A, 3, B, 4, C, 2, D, 5. Like, just put them in order, you know what I mean?
Wait a minute, is this like old Scantron where you just kind of...
Right. What type of food did astronauts in recent years claim when they smelled open space it smelled like?
Steak.
They said it smelled like steak for some reason. Yeah, I'm sure that meant cooked steak, right?
Because, as opposed to tartare.
Yeah, exactly. But
Or Salisbury steak.
The other choices were tacos, chicken, spaghetti.
That tastes like chicken, that's all.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it totally tastes different than how it smells. Why did Abraham Lincoln's bodyguard leave his post at Ford's Theater, resulting, of course, in the assassination?
To go get a drink.
He went to grab a drink. Yep, unfortunately.
To the pub next door.
Mm-hmm. There was a rumor that a musical instrument was required to be a teacher at the elementary or high school level in North Korea. You had to be able to play this instrument to be able to be a teacher. Do you know what it was?
Piano?
The recorder?
Mm-mm. Those are both really, really good. It is as not sequitur as it possibly could be.
The
that's all.
Trombone.
The armpit.
Tuba.
Armpit is almost there. Tuba's going down the right route.
Trumpet?
Not a trumpet, no.
French horn.
Clarinet.
It's a keyboard instrument that, let's say, Lawrence Welk might be.
Accordion?
Yeah, it was the accordion was the answer. Yeah.
Whoa.
Don't know why.
Weird Al could be a PhD over there.
Yeah,
so we tease my husband to this day still because he was in undergrad for elementary ed, could not pass music because he sucks the rhythm out of people around him.
No.
He could not pass the recorder part.
Oh, my God.
So now every time one of our kids hits fifth grade and brings a recorder home, he's like, I get it, hot cross buns, walk away.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
He could not to save his life. Took the class twice and failed recorder.
Mm. Oh, dear. Gosh. What type of diet was once claimed to have magical curative properties in 16th century Europe?
I think all diets claim that at some point, don't they?
I'm going to give you partial credit.
16th century.
Well, like bloodletting or something like that?
You're dangerously
leeches?
Close.
What kind of diet?
Tapeworm diet?
The most dangerous game?
Human.
Yeah, cannibalism. Absolutely. Oh. Eat your friends and neighbors for magical curative properties.
And if you don't like them, then you're getting rid of them at the same time, and that's a double bonus.
It's a twofer.
Yeah, it's a win-win.
Yeah.
This is very, very, considering when these questions were submitted in late 2019, very, very topical, Sarah. What professional sport once had men and women playing together as players? We just got an announcement yesterday that for the first time ever, there's going to be mixed-gender coach in this sport next season.
Darts?
Mixed doubles tennis.
Baseball.
Baseball. Yeah. Yes, we're going to have a coach on the San Francisco Giants who is female next
season.
There's
still no crying in baseball.
There's still no crying.
See, that's one thing I've never understood. Like, with darts, why did they have mixed league, you know, or, you know, separate... You know,
that's
male and female. Yeah, because it's,
there are differences, and then there are not differences.
And then there are just things normal people don't think about.
Yeah.
Like darts. No, I'm just kidding.
there are social, not necessarily physiological walls here.
Or certainly the way in which darts might be gendered.
Yeah.
Yeah, but more people get trophies that way, Dave.
Oh, gotcha.
That's
so
right.
It's a good thing.
You've got to multiply trophies. The trophies.
So everybody feels good about themselves. That's right.
My seventh place ribbon.
What very interesting activity is very scientifically well known to help you pass a kidney stone?
What activity?
What very interesting activity is
jumping
known?
Rope.
Jumping rope is one of the distractors, but is not the correct answer, so you're on the right track.
Urination?
Trampoline.
I don't think it's that pragmatic.
All right.
Pogo stick.
Passing a kidney
getting
stone.
Closer.
What?
Trampoline? Did somebody say
pole vaulting?
That?
No, we need to go to the absolute extreme of up and down, is what I would say.
Jackhammer operating.
Trampoline still sounds good.
I know. No, apparently it's been scientifically proven that riding a roller coaster is known to help you pass a kidney stone.
It does, because you
gravity.
Can...
Gravity.
No, I think it's because when you go over...
the top?
Then you, like... suspend gravity for a hot second.
Yep.
Right? So that it might actually move up into the tube. So,
I don't know what to say about that. Oh,
so it might
gosh.
Move up and then down again.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, it would flow. It might flow up to the tube and find its way out.
Yikes. Wow. When processed incorrectly, what spice can be poisonous, sometimes leading to hallucinations, convulsions, pain, and paranoia?
Turmeric?
Not turmeric.
Nutmeg.
It says nutmeg.
Nutmeg,
here
you're right.
Yeah.
Yep, it's nutmeg.
Ooh, that makes me freaked out,
oh,
too.
Oh, I think I've got some of that at home.
I thought it was going to be a more rare spice.
No. Yeah. Comparatively speaking, nutmeg is so pedestrian. Mm-hmm. It can be pretty toxic, I guess.
It's
if you...
big in the Caribbean.
Oh, well, yeah, but...
What type of sea creature may be able to live for over 300 years?
Sharks?
Sharks is what it says here. The Greenland sharks.
Ugly looking
very
thing.
Well known. But 300 years is a long time.
They That's are miracles like, of evolution,
yes,
as
they are.
Richard Dreyfuss says in Jaws.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Oh, my gosh. How many time zones span the country of France?
Two.
Wow. That is so far off, you won't even believe
five,
me when I tell you. It's more than that.
Seven.
What?
It's more than that.
Time zones in France?
Nine.
Yeah. France isn't that wide.
I know. It's about the size of Ohio from the last time I checked. It says here there's 12 time zones in the country of France.
How can it be 12?
Oh, they must be including like Martinique and various colonies
well,
of France.
Maybe
or
that's possible.
It's just, you know, they're French and therefore their connection to time is
because,
pretty tenuous at best.
So they've got a Napoleon complex about everything.
Actually, the territorial, the main country of France is in only one time zone.
So there we go. There we go.
It's got to be internal, like the episode of West Wing where they crossed time zones when they were moving from one part of Indiana to another or something.
Yeah, but can you imagine trying to make appointments? Yeah, show up for your 2 o'clock appointment and it's really 5 o'clock my time?
Or... Again, France. Pretty much explains everything.
South Park would love it.
Hashtag say no more.
Mm-hmm. How many three-pointers did Shaquille O'Neal actually make throughout his entire NBA career?
Not many.
Not many
is partial credit. Less than 12.
I didn't
eat.
Less than 8.
3.
5.
Less than 3.
1.
1 is the correct response.
I mean, he couldn't even shoot at the foul line. So,
It's then it's not going to make it like 3 more times back. It's not going to be any
just
different.
Just going to park you under the net and
oh
let you rebound.
Oh, my gosh. So funny.
On the other hand, if you just let him shoot enough, some are bound to go in. That's my strategy. Just got to get people to keep passing me the ball.
That's a nice gambler's fallacy. I've lost so often, I'm bound to win sometime. Yes, because that's how it works.
That's how I pass my SATs.
It's very well known that there is another mammal besides humans that give unique names to each other. What is it?
Elephants.
No.
Chimps.
No.
Dolphins.
Dolphins, yes. Oh. Dolphins give... unique names. They're all clicks and shrieks and all sorts of crazy things.
Dolphins are pretty cool.
They
so
are cool,
are.
Though.
I'll buy that.
They are cool.
And delicious. Oh, I'm kidding.
You better be.
Oh my gosh.
I wouldn't know. Oh, my God.
And neither would Starkist.
I have it with my panda meat every week. So, kidding.
Yeah, there are like less than 1,000 of those on the planet, I think. Pandas.
X number of years ago, someone added a new word to the Oxford English Dictionary to describe the blob of toothpaste that sits on your toothbrush before you brush your teeth. What is it called?
Gunk.
Gunk is not it.
Like a pee drop or something like that?
Nope. Pee drop is, I don't know what that is, actually.
I'm not gonna say, I know what it is, but.
Why wouldn't it just be toothpaste? I mean, it metaphysically doesn't become something else when it's on your tooth.
A glob?
I'll give you the four choices. It's an axle, a nurdle, a poppycock, or a bibble.
I go with nurdle.
Nurdle.
It's nurdle is what it sounds like. It's a nurdle of toothpaste.
See, if I were ever to invent a new word, it would be a two-letter word that uses V, so I could play it in Scrabble.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice. Actually in the OED?
Apparently.
Good grief.
Yeah, like Quijibo. It works.
That's just something about their standards. I mean, come on.
Good Quijibo reference there. Which animal can sense an earthquake from almost 100 miles away? This is actually fairly well-known scientifically.
Prairie dogs.
Well, it doesn't say that here. It's an animal that relies almost exclusively, sense-wise, on vibration.
Bats.
Bats is good, except that they're in the air. I need something
else. Whistle
on
pigs.
On the ground. Whistle pigs.
Earthworms.
Well, that's why gophers.
Actually, worms are pretty close, but it's not worms. And if Kendra were here, she would say...
Snakes?
Snakes, yes. Yeah. Snakes can sense earthquakes from 100 miles away.
It'd be nice if they could die when we have them.
Very, very good set of questions.
I realize they play an important biological function, that, you know, same with spiders, but they're the ones in my house are getting smushed.
Ecosystems, ecosystems.
Now, if
we probably won't have books in a couple of decades anymore either, which will be great for the planet, but will just cause enormous amounts of heartbreak for me.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever recover.
That was pretty sweet. That was Sarah Hirschman's question. She did
those
really
were
well.
Very we good questions.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah.
Send
thank
more,
you, Sarah.
If you dare.
And how about we go right into our next set of questions, which were sent. Hey, guys. Hey, folks. Hey. Okay. My name is Luke Bustamante. I'm currently working with Michael Jason to transcribe the show, and I've got some hopefully fun questions for you. So thanks for sending these in, Luke. Someone who works with Michael on transcribing our show so that all can have access to it. It seems like there might be a little bit of a theme here. Let's see what happens. Star Wars features the iconic Grand Moff Tarkin, who orders the destruction of Alderaan by use of the Death Star, in parentheses, you may fire when ready. What is Grand Moff Tarkin's first name?
Bill.
You know,
I'm giving partial credit.
Omar.
Bill.
Prasad.
Ishwara Prasad. Yeah, exactly.
He's not here to defend himself.
Dan or Heather would know.
Yeah, it's a made-up name, but it sounds appropriate. That's all I could say. You said Bill, and I'm giving partial credit because I'm going back to William. It's Will Hoof. W-I-L-H-U-F-F. Yes.
Oh. I was so going to say that.
All the real people with that name won't sue.
She was working her way
there. That's my next guess.
I was hoping that you guys would really, really like my Peter Cushing impression.
I liked it. Pretty good. I don't care about anybody else, man, but I thought it was great.
Evacuate in a moment of triumph. Both of Darth Vader's arms and legs are cybernetic replacements of his lost appendages. However, prior to his transformation, one of his appendages was already missing. What was it?
Oh, no, it's prehensile tail.
No. Not a sense of decency or anything like that.
Oh, darn.
Was it a hand? No.
Yeah, you're close.
An ear?
Nope.
An arm?
It was his right arm. That's right. He had it cut off by Count Dooku.
Is this before the kids or after the kids?
This is before the kids. Okay. Yeah, the cybernetic arm putting. Yep.
This is as much of Star Wars as I know, basically, other than Yoda.
That's pretty good. In Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, Luke crash lands his ship on Dagobah. What is the name of the ship that he crashes?
An X-Wing.
It is an X-Wing fighter. That is correct.
It's the Edsel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Oh, you're killing me. Absolutely killing me. In the action film John Wick, apparently Luke really goes to the films here.
Oh, jeez.
John Wick racks up an impressive body count throughout the duration of the film. Exactly how many people does John Wick kill on film?
A
59.
Lot.
Yeah, it's higher than 59.
107.
It's lower than 107.
Oh. So like in between.
Kendra?
Correct.
72.
77. I'm giving you all the credit.
The beginning of that movie, I watched
it's
that
incredible.
Movie and I could, but the little beagle puppy that I just like, I can't watch this. This is too awful. I can't. kill his puppy.
He is avenged.
Oh, and my gosh. His puppy is like crawling toward him as it's dying right. after it's been. And so the whole point was to avenge the people.
He
killed
77 people to avenge his beagle dog.
There have been two sequels.
It was a really cute puppy.
Didn't they mess up his Mustang too?
Yeah.
There
have been two sequels. He buys a new dog in every sequel, and the gangsters come back to school him and kill his dog, and he goes on a rampage again.
Oh.
And here we go about more of those questions. How many of those 77 were headshots, according to the people who watch these things?
64.
It's lower.
Oh.
Well, if you're an assassin...
51.
You want the double tap,
I'm
right?
giving it 49. 49.
Close enough.
You definitely want the double tap. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. Back to Star Wars for some reason. Luke leaves Dagobah in the middle of his training in order to save his friends. What's the name of the planet he travels to in order to find and save his friends?
Is this where the Ewoks
episode
live?
Five. Nope.
Endor.
Episode 5.
No. Oh,
why would a Wookiee live on Endor?
Wookiees don't live on Endor.
Tatooine? Like,
it's not a planet. It's Bespin, the cloud city.
Bespin, yes.
Bespin. It's not a planet.
Well, it's above city. Bespin. It's
oh,
above
okay, Bespin. Gotcha.
Yeah. What's the name of the animal Han Solo cuts open to use in keeping
Tauntaun.
Luke warm? It's a Tauntaun.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's how the French pronounce Tintin.
Yes.
Again, he's not here to defend himself. Oh, my God.
Well, that's what makes it more fun.
Exactly.
Oh,
no, we're waiting for the lawsuit any minute.
There is a fabric sleeping bag you can get that looks like a Tauntaun that's cut open and then you can go inside of it. I was like, that's
cool. Did you ever see the
brilliant.
Mythbusters episode where they did that?
Oh, yeah. It was spectacular.
It.
They proved that it's possible. Yeah.
Wow. I can't remember the context, but when he says to Luke, probably right after they get on the Millennium Falcon in the first one, he says something like, I'm betting on the Wookiee.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it
no,
was.
No, that was the chess match,
yep.
wasn't it?
Never bet against a Wookiee. Yeah. That's right. Luke and Ben Kenobi first meet Han Solo in a cantina or a bar at what city on Tatooine?
Mos Eisley.
Mos Eisley Spaceport.
That's the famous bar scene. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Never yes.
find. The wonderful cantina.
Yep. Yeah, who shot first?
Yep. Yeah, actually, that's the next question. Oh. I believe that he's leading us on, Luke. It says, who shot first?
Han.
Yeah, Greedo was the original. Sometimes he never shoots at all.
No,
and I can't believe I have to say this on the air, but not many people figured this out until Disney Plus started.
Mm-hmm.
But it was part of George Lucas's Lucasfilm contract in sale to Disney that he would continue to reserve the right to modify the original three Star Wars movies anytime that he wanted and has already modified Episode 4. Before it was uploaded to Disney Plus. And it's really, really entertaining if you haven't seen it yet. Now Greedo says this gibberish word before his head hits the table. McClunky is what he says. And nobody knows what it means, and it's hilarious. Like, why did you have to keep modifying it? It's the equivalent of like, I must
crazy.
Put a post-it note on the back of Michelangelo's David. You know what I mean? Like, what does this mean? Oh, so funny.
It means it's a good thing I still have the VHS
gosh.
Copies.
Darn right. The original ones.
Yes.
Tesla recently unveiled its latest entry into the electric vehicle market. What's the name of it?
Oh, that weird truck
that
thing.
Oh, yeah.
Truck with the breakable window.
Cybertruck.
Yeah,
but they figured out how to land rockets.
Yeah.
Well, they did some good stuff.
I will admit.
Upright. I mean, so
yeah.
You could use them again or whatever.
During the unveiling of the Cybertruck, one of the demonstration of the truck's capabilities failed.
The windows.
Windows.
Yes, they threw a metal ball. It's just such a no-brainer.
Oh,
don't do that.
Right, it wasn't supposed to, the glass was supposed to be unbreakable and it cracked
yep.
or something?
That's right.
Yeah.
Twice shattered.
Mm-hmm. Here it is, Beth. I promise this will be done the most tasteful way. What breed of dog was John Wick's first dog? We heard it was a beagle.
It's a sweet beagle puppy. Yep.
And what was the name of his dog? This is well known to the John
Daisy?
Wick fans. Daisy was her name. That's right.
Named after a BB gun?
Very well done.
This really stuck with me. I mean, I was just so, I couldn't, you know. I can't.
The trauma.
I can
all the
see
ads
you.
This, over the holidays for ASPCA, it's like, I've got to leave the room. I can't see suffering puppies.
What, the Sarah McLachlan soundtrack wasn't enough to kill you?
Oh, gosh.
No, yeah. None of these are playing Angel anymore.
Oh,
they're
wow.
just,
oh.
they just show shivering puppies, and I can't, you know, I can't handle it.
So in the second movie, John Wick buys a new dog. What breed is that dog? Anybody seen this?
I have not. I mean, I have.
I couldn't
remember.
Watch any of the subsequent ones because there was puppy killing.
Yeah,
in the
exactly. Oh, it's from Belgium. Anybody know any dog breeds from Belgium? It's a Belgian.
Corgi?
It's a Belgian Malinois is what it's called.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go Pomeranian, but...
Yeah.
We are. Thank you, Luke, for these questions. We are all over the map. What is the name of Obi-Wan Kenobi's master in Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace.
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes, played by
Liam Neeson.
Yes, Liam Neeson. And to finish us off here, pretty good, actually. These are good questions. I'm always up for a good Star Wars rumble here. Who is currently the most subscribed YouTuber? It's actually not the little kid, Ryan, who opens the toys anymore. It's gone back to who it was before Ryan.
PewDiePie?
Yeah. It's PewDiePie, yeah.
I thought he was leaving. I heard something about how he was actually leaving.
You're hoping, that's all.
I don't know. The thing around PewDiePie is his name is Felix Gilberg, but he has been known to make a lot of very questionable commentary, including racist and misogynistic comments. So it's just kind of sad that... So we reached the point in the show where it's time for someone else to come up with an ATP favorite theme, and we need to find out what that's going to be.
Favorite Michael, could theme?
Just a theme where people could say what their favorite of that thing is.
Yeah, like your favorite prasad or something. Like
that. I've got
one. Oh, darn. Jason beat me to it.
Well, somebody else could go. You can go ahead.
No, I was going to say my favorite prasad is prasad. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, that's my only one.
Oh, darn.
Was that the real question or did you
want it is now.
We do want
to know. Mini-me is a close second.
What do you got, Jason?
I was going to say, what's your favorite picture of your kids? For those of you that have kids. Can you have one?
I can have pictures of cats.
Yeah.
Cats would count.
Furry.
Do you have pictures? Like a photo?
Of course.
I got lizard photos. I got car photos. That count?
Wait, did you say wizard?
Whatever your
lizard.
Kids are.
A lizard?
Yeah. Your drawings could be your kids.
I
have a favorite picture of my great niece when she was a baby, because she looked exactly like a miniature Uncle Fester. All you needed was a light bulb.
Oh, my word.
Oh, that's awesome. Tell her that.
And my you're word. Hoping your family doesn't hear this episode, I'm sure.
So did someone get smart and like put the light bulb in her mouth and see if they can make it light up?
Did you guys ever see the picture of Dan when he did that for Halloween?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Uncle Fester?
Yeah, he could do a good job of it.
Wonderful.
Absolutely.
We used to call my one son Peter Boyle.
Oh, Peter Boyle.
Because he looked just like Peter Boyle.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Yes. Because he just had like really super blonde hair, but just around like the base of his head, and it got really long. So he looked like an angry old man. So we called him Peter Boyle.
The story that I can tell, not being necessarily my favorite picture, is we got Joseph's picture taken. So he's 16 now. There's no way to stop time. But when he was 3 or 4 years old, so preschool, classic sort of school photo, and we put him in this red and blue striped sweater, just regular, you know, light sweater, and then pants. And they had him doing all these different poses, and he sort of, almost as if the photo had been manipulated, looked a little ganglier than usual. So my wife sends me the picture over email, doesn't say anything about it, but the file name, she's modified it to My Son the Muppet. Because he sort of looked like he had been sort of like propped up and stuff like that. And I had to find that out many years later. I'm like, you didn't tell me your best stuff because I didn't read the file name, you know? Folks, I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today. We'll have to say goodbye. I'd like to thank Professor Roach.
And I'd like to say you're welcome.
Professor Tubbs.
I would say so too.
Professor Conan.
Goodbye.
Professor Oldjar.
Later.
Professor Chow.
See ya.
And now these words...
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu, tweet to us on Twitter @AskTheProfessor, or using the hashtag AskTheProfessorUDM, or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Meyer.